Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. In any renovation project, as questions arise and complications ensue, the best course of action is almost always to seek out an expert for advice. So when it comes to our own spiritual renovation, doesn't it just make sense that we would seek out Jesus? Understanding, of course, that the advice we get from Jesus might not be what we're expecting. Continuing our sermon series all about Lenten renovations, here is today's message. It's based on John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33, and it's entitled, Would We See Jesus? Now among those who went up to worship at the festival, Chris just read to us, were some Greeks. They came to Philip and they said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. I guess the first question that arises out of our text for this morning is, who were these Greeks anyway? And why were they so determined to see Jesus? It's a fair question, friends. After all, consider the context of that request. This was Jerusalem at the peak of the Passover festival. Passover, which is very much a Jewish celebration, and these Greek strangers were, by all indications, not Jewish, but Gentile. In just about every sense, they were, as we like to say in these parts, from away. Moreover, John tells us in his gospel that these Greeks had gone to Jerusalem and up to worship in Jerusalem. But the reality is that being non-Jews, they would have been denied entrance to the temple and they would have been relegated to the outermost court, the court of the Gentiles, which is also, not so coincidentally, the place where all the money changers and the animal sellers plied their trade. And so you can just imagine the scene. They would have been overrun with the throngs of people who were milling about. So worship, in any kind of meaningful sense, was probably out of the question. So really, short of merely looking to soak up the sights and sounds of a Passover celebration, like some manner of first century tourist, why would those Greeks even be there? And more to the point, why would they have gone to such trouble to seek Jesus out specifically? Well, there's a lot of ideas about that. Some have suggested that it was out of curiosity, mainly. That they'd heard so much about this man Jesus, this incredible rabbi who was healing the sick and who taught endlessly about a kingdom of God, who'd allegedly, it was said, turned water into wine, and most recently, which was the buzz everywhere, had even raised a dead man whose name was Lazarus back to life. They had heard so many stories about this man who was clearly the talk of Jerusalem that naturally they wanted to see it for themselves. They wanted to see him, which kind of makes sense. But you know what? I think it was more than that. Biblical scholars have a much different theory about it. They suggest that the Greek's appearance at the Passover was meant by John to represent how Jesus' kingship and his movement of the kingdom of God was spilling out beyond Palestine and out into the world. This is symbolized by the arrival of Gentiles who would be eventually among his disciples. And while much of the history of the early church bears this out, I think that there's more to the story than even that. So, what is, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story? All we know, at least as John tells the story, is that there were these Greeks who show up in Jerusalem looking for Jesus. And they go straight to one of his disciples, Philip, we're told, who was from Bethsaida and perhaps maybe knew a little Greek language because of the number of Greeks in Bethsaida. And then after going to Philip, Philip in turn goes to Andrew. And all of this was so that they could set up a meeting. Understand, friends, that up until this point in John's gospel, we have heard nothing at all about these unnamed Greek visitors. And truth be told, they are gone from the story very, very soon thereafter. All we really know about them is that they wanted to see Jesus, that they needed to talk with him person to person, face to face. And presumably they had many questions that they wanted to ask him. Questions that needed answers. Questions that spoke to everything they ever wondered about existence and life and living and eternity. Questions that they couldn't even begin to formulate, much less put into words. But questions that they knew down deep inside them that only Jesus was going to be able to answer for them. And maybe, friends, that's the point. Now, you might remember how a couple of weeks ago I shared with you the story of my ill-fated misadventures in the world of lawnmower repair. About how I literally spent weeks last spring attempting to get that mower up and running again, despite the fact that I had no discernible skills whatsoever for such a task. Well, to follow up on that a little bit, just let me say to you this morning that you folks were very kind in your response to that particular sermon illustration. After the service, you let me know how very sorry you were that I'd had so much trouble trying to fix that lawnmower, that you understood how frustrating a thing it must have been that nothing, and I mean nothing, went right in the process. And a few of you even shared your own sordid tales of home repairs gone horribly wrong. But a couple of you actually asked a pertinent question that I've kind of been asking myself as of late. Why didn't you just ask for help? And it's a good question. And you know what? I could give you several excellent answers, all of which are true, by the way. Like how I was so caught up in the momentum of this project that I was convinced that the next thing I tried was most certainly going to fix the problem. Lisa will tell you that's true. That I was really leaning into the trial and error approach, albeit with the emphasis on error. And yes, if I'm being honest, there was a point of pride involved here. As someone who's never really been all that handy to begin with, in the spirit of a determined preschooler learning how to tie his shoes, just kind of wanted to prove I could do it all by myself. That's right. But all that said, again, if I'm being honest, I'm not sure in this instance if I even knew how to ask for help or who to ask or even what kind of help I would ask for if I did. I mean, what's the saying? You could fill a book with the stuff I don't know. And I didn't know much about this. Bottom line, and you know this to be true, it can be hard to ask for help, but even harder at times to know what kind of help to ask for. What we really need sometimes is someone to understand what it is we're actually asking for. We need somebody who knows what it is that we really need, even if we don't know what that is ourselves. So it was for those unnamed Greek strangers who were looking to see Jesus, and so it is also, I believe, for you and for me. Actually, you know, unless I miss my guess, I suspect that many of us here this morning have found ourselves at some point in our life's journey standing at a crossroads, shall we say. A place where we are completely unsure of which way we are to turn next. And understand, it's not that we didn't have some sense of what it was we were looking for. Maybe what we were looking for is the pathway to greater success in our careers. Perhaps it was a choice that might or might not lead to love. Or perhaps it was simply a fork in the road. You know, as Robert Frost said, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. That fork, that two roads diverge, that we know one way would certainly offer some clarity on life's journey. So in other words, friends, we kind of knew where we wanted to go, but the truth was that the choices were many. And we were all alone. We didn't want to choose the wrong way. And so there we were. There we stood. Who knows? Maybe some of us are still standing there. I don't know. And how much better would it have been? How much better would it be if there would have been someone somewhere to whom we could have gone? Who we could have asked, and who could have given us the answers that we were seeking, the answers we needed. Now, we've talked a great deal throughout these weeks of Lent about spiritual renovation, about making the choices in our lives that would bring us into a closer relationship with God. To one extent or another, I believe that this is the thing that we're all looking for in this life. This ultimate concern that I spoke of last Sunday. And truly, when you come down to it, that's at the very heart of why you and I come to church Sunday after Sunday. Each one of us wants and needs and yearns for a deep and abiding relationship with God. We want the answers we are seeking, and we will find those answers with the Lord. But how that happens, how that's going to become real for us, how we actually ask for those answers, well, that's the rub, isn't it? What we're looking for in this life is forgiveness and reconciliation and unconditional love from the Almighty. We want to know, beyond any shadow of any kind of doubt, that we are loved by God and that we belong to Him now and forever. And we want to be able, despite all the complications of life that would seek to get in the way, to see and to know and above all to experience that love for ourselves. Simply put, we want to be saved. And for that, beloved, we would see Jesus. What's interesting about the story in our text this morning, however, is how it unfolds. What we discover early on is that there really isn't any indication that Jesus actually met with those Greeks who had so earnestly sought him out. So there's no sense that they got to ask him their questions. Moreover, if we read just beyond our text for today, we learn that Jesus departed and hid from all the people and, in fact, did not appear in public again until he did so nailed to the cross. No, as John tells this story, this encounter represents the end of Jesus' public ministry. And Jesus makes very clear the reason why. The hour had come. The time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, says Jesus, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And from there, Jesus goes on to speak about glory and his death and how he says, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Now I read that and I have to immediately wonder what those Greeks must have been thinking to hear all of this. It certainly was not what they were expecting to hear from Jesus, whatever that might have been. And remember, even at that moment, the crowd is essentially arguing with Jesus about the truth of what he's saying. As far as they had always understood, the Messiah remains forever. So this notion that Jesus was setting before them that he was going to die, it might as well have been as thunder preceding the storm. In fact, they literally heard thunder in the midst of it all. At that point in time, these people couldn't possibly have imagined their Messiah dying a raw and hideous, truly excruciating death on the cross. But they would find out in just a couple of short days. This was why Jesus came. And though they weren't able to see it at the moment, this was the way in which God was going to be glorified. So, you see, what's clear is that the Greeks came there that day wanting to see Jesus. And they wanted him to answer their questions of what it all means. And if when all things are said and done, there's going to be some sort of victory. And truth be told, you and I, though we tend to couch these things in terms of peace and joy and happy endings, we're asking pretty much the same kind of questions. But here's Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you want to see me? You want answers to these questions that you have? You want to know what it's all about? Well, it's not about what you're expecting. It's about what God wants it to be. It's about how it needs to be. And how it needs to be is the cross. I'm not sure, I don't think any of us will ever be sure ultimately if this is what, at the end of it all, what the Greeks were looking for in Jesus. And I can say that because there are moments that I wonder if that's what I'm looking for in Jesus. I want peace and joy and happy endings. I don't want to hear about the agony of the cross. I would be one of those people that would like just to go from Palm Sunday right into Easter and not think about what happens in between. I don't expect that in Jesus, but I know it's what I need in Jesus. To quote David Lohse, formerly of Lutheran Seminary, the point of faith in Jesus isn't just faith or comfort or satisfying our spiritual desires. It is recognizing how Jesus comes to demonstrate God's strength through vulnerability, God's power through what appears weak in the eyes of the world, and God's justice through love, mercy, and forgiveness. This is the Jesus, Lohse writes, who reveals the heart of our loving God by going to the cross. Just as this is the Jesus who is raised again on the third day to demonstrate once and for all that love is more powerful than hate, that life is more powerful than death. This is the one who in the end has promised to draw all of us to him. Or consider the words of Henry Nouwen, the late great Henry Nouwen, in a classic book of his entitled The Wounded Healer. Nouwen suggested in that book that what makes God authentic to us is that his caring comes from a heart wounded with suffering. Nouwen writes, who can save a child from a burning building without taking the risk of being hurt by the flames? Who can listen to a story of loneliness and despair without the risk of experiencing similar pains of the heart or even losing precious peace of mind? In short, Nouwen concludes, who can ever take away our suffering without first entering into it? At our Wednesday Bible study last week, we reflected a little bit on the thing we all say at times. When I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to ask Jesus is, dot, dot, dot. Why is there suffering in the world? Why do the good die young and the bad seem to go right on? Why did this have to happen in my life? What kind of sense does any of this make? We all have those questions. But I got to tell you, friends, that I think of all the questions that I have in this life, the question that I keep on asking are the most profound and persistent questions I have to do with understanding. Who is going to understand me? Who will understand how I am feeling? Who will understand what I'm going through? Who will understand which way I really need to go? And to be honest, that's a question I'd really like to have answered now, not when I go to heaven. Who will understand me? Well, the answer is that only God truly understands us. Only God can bring us to peace and wholeness. And we know this now, because through Jesus Christ, God was willing to enter into all of our suffering, and to do so also at all of life's crossroads and amidst all the other unanswered questions that we have. As we draw ever nearer now to Good Friday, to that hill far away, it's important that we would see Jesus as he truly is, as he is for us today, as he has always been, bearing the weight of all our sufferings, conquering sin and death, literally dying to love us, and showing us the relentlessness of God in giving a life with him, giving us a life with him that is abundant and eternal. The question is, would you see Jesus? I hope and pray that in these days of spiritual renovation, you will. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
And that's the message entitled, Would You See Jesus? Part of our current sermon series, Lenten Renovations. This message was recorded during our March the 17th service of worship at East Congregational Church, where we would love to have you join us in person for worship, all through this Lenten and Easter seasons most especially. We come together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, which is just off exit 16 of I-93 in Concord, New Hampshire. I would love the chance to welcome you to our worship, and I know you'll be glad you came. For now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As always, I thank you for listening today, and until next time, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.